So Elliot Friedman is joining us now. Sorry to be with us at this moment, I'm sure, from Sportsnet and Hockey Night in Canada. Elliot, good morning.
I've had worse, I will say that.
Is that a new one, a fan throwing a dead duck onto the ice? Like, again, where's the line for people in the state of Tennessee, Elliot? Honestly, it's a red state,
but come on. To be perfectly honest, I'd love them to go to Anaheim and they should throw a predator on the ice.
I don't know. That's a saber-toothed tiger.
What's the response? the Nashville fans have clearly upped their game. What are the Ducks going to come back with?
Okay, this is not funny. Okay?
I don't know.
This was a duck, okay?
Yeah.
Tears and everything.
It had a family.
So they say that there's no game-to-game momentum, right? So where's the momentum in a game where you give up the tying goal and you give up both goals in the third period, and then you give up the tying goal in the last minute, but you know what? You still win the game.
Well, I think, Elliot, the key is what happens when you get into the intermission. One of the great stories I always remember was in 2004, Vancouver-Calgary. Vancouver was the favorite. Calgary had the lead and a power play in Game 7 with minutes to go, and they gave up a shorthanded goal. And they talked about how they went back into the dressing room at the coaches. Excuse me. And the coaches told Nick's laughing because I just sneezed. the coaches told the players, you know what, you remember when you were in Game 7 overtime playing on the street and you talked about who was going to score the winning goal, and it got them in the right frame of mind. I remember Team Canada in 2010 in Vancouver, you'll remember Phil Kessel scored, whoever it was, Pavelski scored late in the game to send that one to overtime, and Canada regrouped. I thought the Getzlaff was just incredible last night. Your captain, especially on a team with a lot of young players, he's got to set the example. And I thought Getzlaff, the way he came out in overtime and dominated every shift he was on, I think that basically pulled Anaheim out of the abyss.
For what it's worth, I know nothing about that Vancouver-Calgary game, or I knew nothing about it until I heard Matt Cook on the radio here this week. He scored the two goals but didn't score the winner in overtime in that game.
Yeah.
No?
Yep.
That's crazy. Well,
Marty Gelinas, scored. Remember that year he scored every goal that knocked everybody out.
That's so weird. And Matt Cook is sitting in the dressing room. He scored the two big goals, and of course he tied it, right, late in the third period.
Yeah.
And he's getting no respect because he didn't score the winning goal.
I know. Isn't that terrible?
All right. Anyways, how much this year.
Yeah, and how much trouble did that must have reminded Leaf fans of 4 years ago. Not that Boston scored a bunch of power play goals to beat the Leafs out down 4-1, but penalty, Elliot, after penalty after penalty. Like when BX was going to the box with 2 minutes left, I'm like, well, it's not going to get worse. And they took another penalty 45 seconds later, right?
Well, you know, the thing is, Greg, is that Anaheim is doing the old Detroit Piston philosophy. And that is that we're going to commit 1,000 penalties, and we'll see how many of them they actually call.
Yeah.
And you know, what happened was those two penalties late. I mean, BX could have had four penalties in that one shift. And Manson, I mean, that was the funny thing. Getzlaff at the end of the game says it was a terrible call. Manson took a baseball swing at him. Like, that was a very legit call. Like, don't put the referees in position where they might have to call something. And Anaheim sure did. And, you know, I think when you take a look at the overall amount of things they could have got called for and what they actually did get called for, Anaheim came out way ahead.
Are they late to getting Bieksa in? It really interesting story, given I know he's 35. We all know, talk about back nine. He's on the last two holes of his career because of health, although he played 81 games this year. Did they wait too long to put him in the lineup, or does he look fresh and ready to play out the rest of this series?
No, I think he'll be okay. Sometimes I think when you have a layoff, your first game is sometimes your worst. I know why they put him in. They really felt that the Nashville guys were getting on top of Gibson, and so they wanted something a bit more physical, making it a bit harder to get there. And then by the end of the game last night, I mean, I don't know if you saw the highlight pack at the end of the game, the Ducks were basically targeting Rene's head. I couldn't believe what they got away with in overtime. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you don't like to call a penalty in overtime, but when someone butt ends the goalie's mask, You got to call that. That's ridiculous.
All right. Game four tonight, Pens and Sens, 8 o'clock CBC. I ask you a two-pronged answer, right?
Okay.
So is it Murray? Is it Fleury? What would you do, and what do you think they're going to do?
Okay. Prong number one is it looks like Fleury. And the reason is that yesterday at practice, Fleury had his own net, and Murray and Jari, the third guy, shared. And I think if Murray was starting, you wouldn't do that to him. So I think it's Fleury. You know, we'll find out this afternoon. I think Sullivan's going to announce it at 12:30. Prong two, I would go back with Fleury. And the reason I would is that I think he's proven to you in the playoffs this year that he's a bounce-back guy. And number two, I think that they're a team that they're very aware of that this is probably Fleury's last run there. And if you remember how they played in games 5 and 6 against Washington, especially game 6, they really rallied around him in game number 7. He was good and they were good in front of him. I'd give Fleury another start tonight. But if you lose tonight, you're probably coming back with Murray in game 5.
What has Fleury done to reestablish himself from other GMs? There must be GMs, either A, Elliot kicking themselves that he could have been had for a song and dance a little bit earlier. It's like how Devan Dubnyk, though younger, was just done as a goalie. Finished, done, and got that crack in Minnesota. Played well for 4 months, got the contract, and boom, he's back. Fleury's a little different case, but I'd mentioned before this week, the loyalty they've showed him and vice versa, what he means to some of the veteran players that have been with him for a decade, like Malkin, Crosby, Letang. We know he's not going to be with this team next year, but how much has he reignited a rep that you could go with him?
Well, Greg, the first thing I would disagree with your premise. I don't think he would have been available for a song.
Okay.
They weren't doing that. If they were trading him this year, they were making a legit deal. And I think that's one of the reasons he didn't get traded. Now, how much they like him? They like him a lot. And they're huge fans of his. They realize he's done a lot for them as a franchise. And the other thing, too, is that I think one of the things they told him at the beginning of the year was, you know, he had a 12-team no trade, but I think they made it very clear that he was not going anywhere unless it was a situation that he was comfortable with. But Jim Rutherford is a wily guy. He was not making that deal just to get rid of him. You were going to have to make a legit good trade to get him, and I don't think he ever saw anything that made him really come close to pulling the trigger.
Our Stanley Cup crew continues with great coverage tonight, 8 o'clock, CBC, Pens, Sens, Game 4 with Elliot Friedman and everybody else. Thank you, Elliot.
Well, you know, I got to say, Elliot, I don't want to make you a liar, but you put a lot of pressure on us telling us we're going to have great coverage tonight.
Okay. Yeah. No, but I don't think that there's a lot of pressure. I think it's just another day.
He didn't say long coverage. Like they're we're waiting for that quadruple overtime, Keith Primo type game. Vancouver Dallas in 2007 type game. We're waiting.
And better
to be there.
Better on a Friday.
A terrible long weekend, Brady.
No. We're okay because it's better on a Friday. We can stay up tonight.
Sure.
Eh?
Yeah.
Great for you guys. Wonderful.